The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
What an honor, what a privilege to be able to preach tonight. Normally I don't preach with the preacher behind me, and so I'll have to. Okay. I'll try to behave. Brother Smale gets on to me for preaching in the college chapel. The way I do, they try to put stuff on the internet and record all that stuff. Normally my messages don't go out. Just doesn't meet that criteria, okay? And so, I'm not trying to be bad. I'm really not. I was down there. I went out of town a couple of weeks ago preaching in West Virginia, and I was preaching on Sunday night, and I was just preaching away. I said, you ought to take care of your pastor. You ought to support your pastor. You ought to back your pastor, you know, if he's doing something and starting something, a bus ministry, the nurse, you know, back, if he's starting an orphanage, you know, support him. Hey, preacher, I got some kids. You can have them. That wasn't in my notes. It wasn't in my notes. I wasn't going to, but anyway. Preacher asked if I would do this tonight. I am honored. He said, we're going to lay hands on Nile. And I said, I've done that many times. And so, this is nothing new to me. But it is a great privilege. It's a great honor. As I was thinking about this message, keep playing with Brother Dan. That's not me yet. You got the mind where I'm supposed to be. Just keep playing with it till you get it. There's a lot of people here tonight that have surrendered to the ministry. I believe there'll be many ordination services to follow from our ministry here, from the college, from the church, from those going out. This will not be by itself. There'll be others. And there are many people tonight that will be following this path and that will be going into the ministry, into the Lord's work, that just even at the last youth revival surrendered to go into the ministry full time. This message is for you tonight too. You may be in this position some night. Jeremiah 1 and verse 5, you don't have to turn there. That's not our text. I'm preaching two sermons. This is my first. But about the ordination service, several people have, well, what is an ordination? What do you do? This and you know, but in Jeremiah 1 and 5, it says, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. There's two words here, sanctification and ordination. There was a sanctification and ordination. He said, I sanctified thee before thou camest out of the womb. And he ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. That was at some other point maybe, but there was two things that went on. And there's two things that made Jeremiah what he was supposed to be. He was to be sanctified. That means to purify, to cleanse, to set apart, to make holy, to make ready for use, to separate from wrong use and certain things that would defile and make unclean and unfit for sacred use. So to sanctify means to get it cleaned up, to get it set apart, to get it ready to be used. And so he said, before you were ever born, I sanctified you. I set you apart. I want you to be a unique and unusual vessel. And I don't want you to be involved in this, 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 and this, because I want you to be a vessel fit for use. And then he said, I ordained you. That's a different meaning. It means to assign to something, to set apart from other duties or office to a particular duty or office. To appoint. And that's what we're going to do tonight. For many years, his mother and I at sanctified our children the best we could. We tried to set them apart. We tried to keep them clean. We tried to keep them away from the world. We tried to do what was right by them. Then God chose to ordain. Got some parents here tonight. Your children have surrendered to the ministry. Maybe a previous youth revival, maybe at a camp, maybe at a young fundamentalist. There's some adults here that have surrendered to the ministry. Amen. And someday we may ordain you to a particular service. He is being ordained into the gospel ministry tonight. And there may be an ordination some night, but that won't take place unless there's a sanctification first. That has to come first. And so we see here that this verse stuck out to me. I looked at the verses in the Bible about many verses that use the word ordain or ordained. But this was talking about God taking a man and ordaining him. But before he ordained him, he sanctified him. Many times we use the term at ordination that they ordained to the gospel ministry. To the gospel ministry. What is this ministry? What is this ministry? I want you to look with me to John chapter 1 and verse 19. This is our text, so if you'd stand with me, please. John 1 and 19, the book of St. John chapter 1 and verse 19. I'm feeling kind of alone up here without Brother Hernandez. I preach 3 times a week. And he repeats everything I say. Sometimes I think he straightens it out a little bit. John chapter 1 is our text, verse 19. And this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who art thou?" And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Art thou Elias?" Somebody Elijah. He saith, "I am not. Art thou that prophet?" And he answered, "No." Then said they unto him, "Who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah." He said, "I am the voice of one crying." I am the voice of Christ. I want you to look at verse 35, the same chapter 1. Again, the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, "Behold the Lamb of God." And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. This was John the Baptist. The Bible says among those born of women, there was not a greater. But when they asked John, "Who are you?" He said, "I'm a voice, pointing the way to Jesus. That's all I am." Let's pray. Father, bless this time. Speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Be seated. Here was John the Baptist. The Bible said there was none greater born among women than John the Baptist. But when they ask him, "Who are you?" Man, you're an amazing preacher. You astound us. Are you a prophet? Are you Elijah? Who are you? And John said, "Well, as a matter of fact, I am the second cousin of Jesus. I was filled with the Holy Spirit before I was ever born." That's not what he said. That's not what he said. He said, "I'm a nobody, but I know somebody." John is the one that said, "He must increase and I must decrease." John is the one who said, "There goes Jesus right there. Behold the Lamb of God." And he said, "I'm not worthy to tie his shoes." Would God we had that in the ministry today. Here came John. He was preaching there in the land of Israel, which I got to go see. It was great. Sorry, that wasn't in the notes, but it was fun. People were getting saved. People were turning to Jesus. People were understanding the Old Testament scripture, who the Messiah was. And one day, they were listening to John, and he was telling them the plan of salvation. He was talking to them about Jesus Christ. He said, hey, look, there he is right there. Behold the Lamb of God. He's the one that takes the worry of the world's sins. That's the one you need to follow. But John was not trying to point to himself. John was not trying to lift up himself. John was in the ministry, the gospel ministry, to point to Jesus. As a matter of fact, after preaching for a while so much about Jesus, the next day he was preaching again. He said, there's Jesus right there. And two of John's disciples, he led a couple people to the Lord and was teaching them and training them and working with them and had taught them how to be soul winners. And they said, is that him? Is that Jesus? And he said, yes. They said, bye, Brother John. And they went and followed Jesus. Hey, I just won you to the Lord. I've been teaching you. I've been bringing you to church on the bus. You're my disciple. And the Bible said those two disciples that were disciples of John said, thank you very much for pointing us to the right person. John didn't say, you're my disciple. He didn't do that. John knew what it was to minister, and so did our Lord. His ministering was simply helping people to see Jesus, pointing people the right way. He said, I'm a nobody, but I can point you to the right person. The Bible, he said, make the path clear. Let me show you. That's the path. That's the way. But where did that path go? Back to him, pointing to him, raising him up, giving him praise? No, all praise went to Jesus. Everything that John did, he must increase and I must decrease. Would God we had more pastors today and more preachers and more people in the pulpit and more people serving God that are more interested in how Jesus looks to people than how they look. What is the ministry? We're ordaining a young man into the ministry tonight. And I say young, not because he's a novice. He is, how old are you? 35? 35 years of age. He has served the Lord. He has proven himself. He's not a novice. He's not a 20-year-old college student. I say young because I'm old. What is the ministry? It's serving. It's ministering. That's what it is. It's serving other people. Ministry is just that. It's ministering. It's helping others find the way. It's pointing the way. And if we're going to minister and you've surrendered to the ministry or you've surrendered to full-time service, what does that entail? What is that you're supposed to be doing? Well, first I'd like to say tonight that it's pointing people to the cross. It's pointing people to the cross. John said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. He was telling people how to get saved. If you're going to be in the ministry and you say, someday I'm going to serve God. I've surrendered to be a full-time Christian servant. I'm going to be an assistant pastor. I am going to be a missionary, a missionary's wife. I'm going to be in the ministry. I'm going to be a man of God, a preacher of God. Then you're supposed to point people to the cross. You don't wait till you get ordained, and you don't wait till you go out, and nor is it over when you get ordained. People go into the ministry, and then they forget about their soul winning. They forget about what they went for. They forget what put the fire in the heart to begin with. We are to point people to the cross. The death, the burial, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, His shed blood. We're to point people to Jesus. Soul winning is a wonderful thing. Winning people to Christ is a wonderful thing. Many people sitting in this room, I've won to Christ. There's nothing greater. That is the ministry. You say, no, I've got this ministry, or I've got that ministry, or I've got the nursery, or I've got this, or I've got the bus ministry, or I'm going to preach here, or I'm going to start this, or I'm going to do that, or I'm going to do that. It's about soul winning. It's about getting people saved. And if we're not getting people saved, then what are we doing in the ministry? Someday I'm going to be a preacher. Someday I'm going to be a missionary. Someday I'm going to be a missionary's wife. Someday I'm going to be an assistant pastor. Then point people to the cross. It's not about you. It's not about your ministry. It's about getting people saved. When you go out on that bus route, it's to get people saved. When you have that Sunday school class, it's about getting people saved. When you go as an assistant pastor, a missionary, and you start a church somewhere, it's about getting people saved. What is the ministry? It's not pointing to ourselves. Look at me. Look at this. Look at what I am. It's saying, look at Calvary. Look at what Jesus can do for you. We have a program. We have a plan. I've written this book. That's all wonderful, and that's great if it points to Jesus. But I think sometimes our own ministries, our own efforts, sometimes overshadow the cross. It's about Jesus. He's the one that died for us. When somebody gets up here and sings, it's about Jesus. It's not about them. It's about Jesus. When somebody gets up and preaches, we're supposed to see Jesus. Point people to the cross. I'm a bus worker. I feel like God has called me into a lifetime as a bus worker. God bless you. It's about soul winning. We got this program on the bus, and we do this, and we're teaching the kids this, and we're doing this. Show me your soul winning. It's all about soul winning. John was pointing people to Jesus. He was pointing people to the cross. He said, behold the Lamb of God. That is the Lamb of God. That is the one who's going to die for our sins. Let me explain to you in the Old Testament how we offered a sacrifice. We took the lamb, we split its throat, and the blood. That did not save you. The Jews were saying, well, if I make my sacrifices and I do that. He said, you're missing the point. It's not about the lamb in the Old Testament. It's about the Lamb of God. It's not about the program. It's about the Lamb of God. We point people to Jesus. Everything we do ought to be bathed in Jesus. Every sermon we preach, every song we sing, every program we have, everything we do is to point people to the cross. And then to take those people that we've won and make them soul winners. What is the ministry? It's pointing people to the cross. Now I got a problem. I don't know what time I started, so I don't know what time to finish. Amen. Number next. Not only is the ministry pointing people to the cross, but it's pointing people to the man of God. It's pointing people to the man of God. We have to point people to the man of God. That's an anointed position. David said, I will not lift up my hands against the man of God. Now listen to me. It's not about your Sunday school class. It's not about your Sunday school class. Your Sunday school class should be pointing people to the preacher. It's not about your bus route. Your bus route ought to be pointing people to the man of God. Brother Bulkley, when you go over and you're an assistant pastor, it's not about what God laid on your heart or what your wife told you to do. Sorry, Brother Smith. Sorry. It's not in the notes. It's about what your preacher wants. If he said, this is the most important thing to me right now, then that's what we do. Well, he just told me to do this and this and this. And I got started on it, and he came in this afternoon and changed it and said, that's good. You keep doing that, but I want this done by tomorrow morning. Well, you just gave me this. It's about what the man of God wants. It's about the direction you point people to the man of God. It's not about me. It's about the man of God. Number three. John said, he must increase, I must decrease. John said, behold the Lamb of God. John was pointing people to the cross. He was a soul winner. John was pointing people to God's choice, Jesus Christ. Number three, we point people to the church. Disciple your converts. Point them to the church. Don't start an in-home Bible study. Love people. Nurture people. Get them to fall in love with their church. Everybody needs a church. Jesus died for the church. Don't start your home Bible study. You gonna get me preaching here in a minute? Don't stand out here in the hall on Sunday morning talking to people and saying, I was just being a blessing to them. They're supposed to be under the sound of the man of God. They didn't come here to hear what you had to say and get your 2 cents. Get them in a church service. It's about the church. Point people to the church if you're going to be in the ministry. Jesus died for the church. He did not die for some organization. Whatever you do, you keep it with the local church. However big it gets, whatever it does, whatever your ministry, you keep it with the local church. There's not something bigger or better or greater out there than the local church. It is the local church. You stay tied to an independent, fundamental, Baptist, local church. It's tied to the church. We have many people sitting here, and you say, I have surrendered to the ministry. That's great. But the ministry is through the local church. The ministry is through this house of God. Not in name only. But it's under the authority and the auspices of the local church. So when you go out, whatever you do, you keep it under the local church. You point to the cross. You point to the man of God. You point to the local church. Why? Because I'm just a voice. It's not about me. It's not about me. It's about the cross. It's about the man of God. It's about the church. I'm a pointer. I'm just a voice. Number next. If you're keeping score, it's number four. I'm going to go into the ministry. Then you point people to the Word of God. You point people to the Word of God. You live by principle, not man's wisdom. You make your decisions by principles from the Word of God. When you counsel, you use the Word of God. Not your thoughts, not your ideas, not your opinions. When somebody asks you a question and you're in the ministry, you give them a Bible answer that you can back up with a Bible doctrine that is from the Bible. Point people to the Bible. I'm tired of pragmatic preachers. Philosophies that bring man's success, man's approval. I don't care if it works or not. If God said to do it, He'll be the judge. He'll bring about the results. When you try to please man, when you try to get something to be successful, you're going to fail. You're going to fail. You're in the ministry, you're supposed to point people to the Word of God. You study this book, you love this book, you learn this book, you preach this book. I know so-and-so did this and so-and-so didn't do that. Get it from the book. You have a scriptural reason as to why you do or don't do something. Point people to the Word of God. We ought not to be pragmatic in our preaching, in our counseling, in our doctrine. Pragmatic. Brother Taylor, that means if it works, do it. I threw that in there for you, okay? I can do that. It used to be my Sunday school class. Let's think about this. Let's look at this. Let's see what'll work. This is what we point people to. Let me tell you something, young people, your parents. Why don't you fall in love with this book and get to know this book so when your teenager asks you a question, you can answer them from the Word of God and give them a biblical reason. If Johnny is 3 years old and he says, why? Because I'm sending you back to the orphanage if you don't. Sorry. I'm not arguing with a 3-year-old. If I got a 16 or 17-year-old young person, though, or a wife, that says, let me show you from Scripture. If they have a right attitude. If they don't have a right attitude, you can join your 3-year-old brother. I was preaching in West Virginia and I was talking about backing the preacher. If you're going to start an orphanage, I'll donate. I'll send some. I've got a few. Amen. Not now. They're all gone out of the house. Amen. Point people to the cross. Point people to the man of God. Point people to the church. Point people to the Word of God. Then I'd like to say this, point people to Jesus himself. It's not about you, son. It's not about you. Matthew chapter 20, verse 28 said, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus was a servant. He ministered. He ministered. That's what the ministry is about. It's about serving other people. You point people to Jesus himself by the way you live. How do you do that? You live the way he lived. You live the way he lived. He was holy. He was holy. Keep yourself from the world. Sanctify yourself. Set yourself apart. Don't try to fit in with the world. Don't try to fit in with the world. You, when people see you at work, when people see you, do you look any different than the world? Can they tell that you're a Christian? By how you speak, by what you watch. They bring up a movie and they're talking about it. You say, oh yeah, I like this part right here. How does that be a holy point to Jesus? We're supposed to point people Jesus by the way we live. Keep yourself from the world. Be sanctified. Don't be worldly. Be pure in your life. Be pure in your life. We got so much wickedness going on because of the internet and chat rooms, and there's so much garbage out there. God help you if you don't have some kind of protection. My Bible says, make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. You can praise all that technology all you want to, and it's killing us. It is killing us. You keep yourself pure. You let your wife help you. There's this sanctification part. You said, I'm going to the ministry. Then you point people to Jesus by living a pure life. Be holy, be pure, be honest. It's not about you. The Bible says if a man sues you at law and he takes your coat, give him your cloak also. Be honest in your dealings. People in the church, people in the world, you be honest in your dealings with people. You represent Jesus Christ. Don't try to schnooker somebody. I don't have to define that one. That's a good one there, buddy. I'll have to define it for everybody else. Amen. Don't try to sneak one in on somebody. Pull one over their eyes. You be honest in your dealings with people. I want to go in the ministry. Then don't cheat people. You say, that's just sharp business. No, you don't want people to treat you that way. We need some honest people in the pulpit. We need some honest Sunday school teachers. Be holy, be pure, be honest in your dealings with others. Be truthful. I'm so tired of half-truths and lies. And be truthful. Be valiant for the truth. Don't tell me what you think or what you thought. Tell me the truth. Tell me what you know. Be valiant for the truth. You want people to believe what you have to say about the Lord Jesus Christ? If you want people to believe what you have to say about your lovely Lord Jesus, then they ought to respect every word that comes out of your mouth and know that you won't lie to them. We ought to live like Jesus. We ought to point people to Jesus. You live like him and you point people to him with your life and your holiness and your purity and your honesty and your truthfulness. Point people to Jesus by the way you live. Point people to Jesus and the way you live for others. Others. Others, Lord. Yes, others. Let this my motto be that living for others. Living for others. It's not about me. It's not about you. Your youth activity is not about you. Your media is not about you. Your song service is not about you. I ain't touching you. Your college is not about you. It's about others. It's not to build you a name. It's to build some college students. It's not to build a media ministry. It's to build the church. The choir. It's not about so you can have a big name. It's teaching the people to sing about Jesus. It's to point people to Jesus. I'm talking about the ministry. Jesus went about doing good. The Bible says if everything could be written down that he did while he was here, the scrolls, the earth couldn't contain it. He went about doing good. He didn't promote himself, didn't promote his ministry. He went about helping people. Even as the Son of Man came, not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus was facing the cross. He was fixing to go to the Garden of Gethsemane. Been there. His heart was heavy. One of the people that had been with him for 3 years or more, Judas, was about to betray him. What did you find Jesus doing? He was washing the feet of a bunch of proud men who wouldn't wash each other's feet. And they let him do it. Only one out of the 12 said, Jesus, you can't wash my feet. All the rest of them let him do it. This was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords that humbled himself. I'm about to die. Not my will, but thine be done. If it's possible, let this cup pass from me. He was about to pray that prayer. And what do you find him doing? Washing a bunch of proud people's feet that would not wash each other's feet. Not only would they not wash their own feet, help each other, they did not offer to wash Jesus' feet either. That was the Jewish custom. When somebody came into your house, you offered them the water. You washed their feet. That was a custom. Didn't matter who it was that came in your house as your guest, you washed their feet. Not going there. It's a family one. We're not touching that one. There's some things we can't be like Jesus in. I'm not going to name any names. It's not in the notes, Brother Smell. I'm sorry. No, not one of those. What happened is they rented or borrowed. They borrowed an upper room, a room above somebody's house. They went there and they made the Passover ready. But it wasn't Peter's house. It wasn't Andrew's house. It wasn't Judas' house. It wasn't James' house. It wasn't Bartholomew's house. I've done my part. You do the rest of them. It wasn't one of their houses. It was a rented room. So Peter said, it's not my responsibility. James says, not my responsibility. Philip said, it's not my responsibility. Nathaniel says, it's not my responsibility. And the Bible says, Jesus took off his robe and girded himself. He said, come over here, let me wash your feet. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords was ministering. He said, let me teach you something. You're supposed to serve each other. And Peter said, you're not washing my feet. He said, let me teach you something. I'm about to be crucified, but let me take a second and teach you something, Peter. Salvation is eternal, and it's once you're washed, you don't have to be washed again, just your feet, daily cleansing. He was teaching a principle there. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords was ministering. There's a story in Mark chapter 5 and Luke chapter 8 that Jesus was being thronged by a crowd. They were pressing all around him, pushing, touching, wanting to see him, wanting to have a miracle, wanting to ask him questions, the wisdom, have him bless their children. They were passing through. Jesus stopped. He said, who touched me? And everybody looked around. Nobody said anything. He said, who touched me? Nobody said anything. And his disciples said, Lord, look at it. We're crowded. Everybody's pushing. Everybody's wanting to get around you. We're going through, you know. We're standing in line at McDonald's. We're pushing to get first. Nothing's changed. And he said, no, somebody touched me. Virtue has gone out of me. Virtue has gone out of me. I felt it. I felt the ebb. I felt the flow. There's a little lady there had been plagued with the issue of blood for 12 years. And when she touched Jesus, she was healed. And she said, it was me. Jesus said, that's fine. Brother Ortiz, you've been in the ministry. You felt the virtue flow. It went out. It's not about me. That's what it's for. You felt the virtue flow out. I've been with Jesus. I've got some power. But then as you go out amongst the people, it's taken. Second Corinthians, let's look at this verse, would you? I have no idea what time it is. Second Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 15. Son, this is the ministry. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 15. Paul said to some people he's writing a letter to that didn't even believe he was an apostle. He was having to prove to some people, his own converts, his own disciples, the church that he had started. They were arguing about if he even had the credentials to be doing what he was doing. They were standing against him. And this is what Paul said about the ministry. He was writing to these people that he loved but weren't loving him back. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 15, Paul said, and I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. Though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. That is the ministry. You live for others. You want to minister? You want to live for others? Then you go to Jesus. You spend some time with Jesus and you get the joy of the Lord in your heart. You say, oh, this is going to be a great day. This is going to be wonderful. I met with the Lord. I got my sins confessed. I confessed all my kids' sins. I feel good. You have a joy in the Lord. You have a forgiveness. There's something in your heart. And somebody comes across your path and takes your joy, or you have to share your joy with them, and it pulls you down. If you're going to be in the ministry, you got to let people take your joy, son. You say, I'm going to surrender to the ministry, but then you're not going to always have joy. You go and get that joy, but it's going to be taken from you. That joy is going to be used. That joy is going to be taken. As Dr. Howes used to preach, you go to God and you get it, and then you go and give it out. But that's where we stop. I don't want to share my joy with you. I spent time praying this morning. I spent time reading my Bible, and I've got joy, and I really don't want to hear your problems, to be quite frank about it. Am I making that up? Am I lying? This man got some things settled with his wife last night. This man prayed for his kids. This man spent some time with God and got the joy of the Lord in his heart. And he went to his office this morning, sitting there, and some kid, college student, comes in and says, I don't agree with this rule and I don't understand this. You want my joy. And I'm fixing to enjoy giving it to you. you give of yourself, you let that virtue go, and then you go get some more joy. That's what the ministry is. You give to that bus kid. You give to that Sunday school student. You give to that nursery kid. You give to that student in school, that student in college. And what you got this morning and what you got from God today, you give it to somebody else. Because they need you. Then you go back and get some more. I didn't ask God, give me enough for you this morning. Or you. I'm not touching you. And I didn't ask God to give me enough joy for you. But if you come by my office and you're hurting, I'm going to give you some of my joy. I'll just have to go back and get some more on my own. That is what the ministry is. You want to live for others? You want to minister, son? Young people? Some of you adults? So I've given my life to the ministry. I've signed up to have a counseling service with a preacher. What's it about? You need some help? No, so-and-so's treating me wrong. And I need him to fix them. Hello? They took my bus. They asked Brother Yao about taking my bus worker, and he let it. I'm going to go talk to the preacher and get her back. You live for others, you minister. You give joy, you give peace. You go to God, and you got problems, and you got cares. Miss Monica, you don't know what you're going to do. You really don't know. But God gives you a peace in your heart. It's going to be okay. It's going to work out. You say, thank you, Jesus. Then somebody comes along and takes that peace. And they come and say, I'm troubled. I'm concerned. I don't know what I'm going to do. Something's going on in my marriage. Something's going on with my kids. He says, come here, let me pray with you. Come here, let me help you. And you give some of that peace. You say, but that messes up my day. Yes, but you can go back. You got to go back to the source of peace, the Prince of Peace. You got to find peace afresh and anew. Because what you got today, you're going to give out, and it's not enough. You want to minister? You want to go into the ministry? You have to give love. You let people take your love. You let people use your love. Paul said right here, and I'm very gladly spend and be spent for you. I can be used. Use me up. That's what I'm for. Well, they used me. They took advantage of me. That is the ministry. Who's the greatest minister in your home? Mama. And who's more abused than anybody else? She gives of herself gladly. I want another waffle. Okay, here's one right here. I found one. She didn't find one. That was hers. But she does it gladly. You give your love. You let people take your love. You use your love on others. You take the abuse. They're ungrateful for your love, and you try, you do what you best. And you go back to God, who is love. And you get filled up again. You go to God, and something's bothering you. You know you shouldn't have done this or that. And you wrestle with it. And you finally get a peace and a joy and a heart that God has given you forgiveness over something. And by His mercy and His grace, He forgave you for something. God gave you that forgiveness to pass on. That's the ministry. We wrong our Savior every day. Every day we sin. And we wrong our Savior every day. And the psalmist said, Thy mercies are new every morning. God was better to me than what I deserved. We go to God and say, God, I shouldn't have been pleased. And he forgives us that forgiveness. And then somebody wrongs us. We say, I'm not forgiving you. That's what the ministry is. You give that forgiveness. They didn't ask for it. They don't deserve it. That doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. You forgive. You say, but it hurts. You forgive. And then you go back to your Heavenly Father who forgave you when you nailed His Son to the cross. When it should have been you that was there. And you get more forgiveness. You want to go in the ministry? You live for others. You give your joy. You give your peace. You give your love. You give your forgiveness. You give of your strength. Be used. Be used. But I had this planned out, and I had this bought, and I wanted this, and I wanted that, and we've saved up for this, and we've saved up for that, and this bus kid needs it. You're used. Could you go an extra mile? Could you give a little bit more? But they don't appreciate it. They don't even know they need it. You do it anyway for them. Brother Mel, I've sat where you sat. I appreciate all he does for the college. I love you. I don't want that job. But you're not going to get that from a college student. They have no concept of what you do. None. None. And they come in and complain because they're not being served enough. They have no idea what you've done. None. You go on a youth activity and you worked hard and you put a lot into it and you planned. You got things reapproved. We can't do that, Brother Bulkley. That hurts children. Okay, I'm sorry. And some teenager comes up and said, well, I wanted this color. I wanted that. Or why can't we do this? You say, okay, that's right. We'll change this. We can do that. Because we're here to serve. No concept all the hours you put in, all the personal money you've put in. You give of your strength. It wears you out. Then you go back to the source of strength. A fresh and a new. You get that fresh power. Christianity is not about having peace. It's about having peace in the storm. Christianity is not about, woohoo, joy. It's about joy amidst the sorrow. My Bible says Jesus was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. When that little lady came up and said, would you heal me? He said, I'd be glad to. And he had a smile on his face. But she didn't know the burden he carried. But he had a smile. He had peace. He had love. He had some joy to give her. He had some strength. Christianity is not about loving lovely people. It's about loving the unlovely. You cannot do that without the grace and the mercy and the power of God upon your life and upon your ministry. You have to go to God daily for that. John said, behold the Lamb of God. I'm not worthy to tie his shoes. He must increase and I must decrease. It's about the cross. It's about the man of God. It's about church. That's what it's about. It's about pointing people to the Word of God and principles, not your thoughts and ideas. It's about pointing people to Jesus, not yourself. Living like Him and living for others. You want to go into the ministry? Paul said, I'll gladly spend and be spent for your sake, for your sake. That's what the ministry is. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. Every head bowed and every eye closed. No room for pride in the ministry. No room for me. You say, I've been wrong. I've been misjudged. I've been mishandled. People don't appreciate me. People don't love me. I've given money out of my own pocket. I've made sacrifices that weren't appreciated. Welcome to the ministry. That's what it's about. Many people in this room tonight that have surrendered your life to be a Sunday school teacher, to work on a staff somewhere, to work in the bus ministry, to work in the nursery. I want to be a nursery worker. I want to work on the bus. Preacher, I'd like to teach a Sunday school class. I would love to help those children. You able to say what Paul said? I will gladly spend and be spent for your sake. That is what it's about. We're going to have an invitation.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at pbcmesquite.org.